Translation, a pure devotee of the Lord whose heart has once been cleansed by the process of devotional service never relinquishes the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, for they fully satisfy him, as a traveler is satisfied at home after a troubled journey. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who is not a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord Krishna is not completely cleansed in the heart. But a perfectly cleansed person never quits the devotional service of the Lord. In discharging such devotional service as ordered by Brahmaji to Narada in the preaching of Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes a representative of the Lord engaged in preaching work meets various so-called difficulties. This was exhibited by Lord Nityananda when he delivered the two fallen souls Jagai and Madai. And similarly, Lord Jesus Christ was crucified by the non-believers. But such difficulties are very gladly suffered by the devotees in preaching, because in such activities, although apparently very severe, the devotees of the Lord feel transcendental pleasure because the Lord is satisfied. Prahlad Maharaj suffered greatly, but still he never forgot the lotus feet of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj, this is because a pure devotee of the Lord is so purified in his heart that he cannot leave the shelter of Lord Krishna in any circumstances. There is no self-interest in such service. The progress of culturing knowledge by the gyanis or the bodily gymnastics by the yogis are ultimately given up by their respective performers. But a devotee of the Lord cannot give up the service of the Lord, for he is ordered by his spiritual master. Pure devotees like Narada and Nityananda Prabhu take up the order of the spiritual master as a sustenance of life. They do not mind what becomes of the future of their lives. They take the matter very seriously, as the order comes from the higher authority, from the representative of the Lord, or from the Lord himself. The example set herein is very appropriate. A traveler leaves home to search for wealth in far distant places, sometimes in the forest and sometimes on the ocean and sometimes on hilltops. Certainly there are many troubles for the traveler when he is in such unknown places. But all such troubles are mitigated as soon as the sense of family affection is remembered, and as soon as he returns home, he forgets all such troubles on the way. A pure devotee of the Lord is exactly in a family tie with the Lord, and therefore he is undeterred in discharging his duty in a full affectionate tie with the Lord. Dharmatma Purusa Krishna Padamulam Namunchati Muktasava Pariklesha Panta Svashadanam Yata Om Adhyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksusun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagujatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishikam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the Jai Namah. This verse is a simile. Simile means a comparison to emphasize some point of philosophy or some point of knowledge. There are many processes of grammar, semantics, logic, rhetoric to explain philosophical terms and make points of view. But the Bhagavatam does not use such devices generally. Apart from simile, you find a lot of beautiful similes in Bhagavad Gita. There is one famous one. Can anyone think of it? Where they compare, I'll give you a clue, they compare the mind to something. No, but that's another one. That's a good one. Actually, we could spend the whole class going. That's the one. Very good. Yes. Excellent. Yeah. So this one is good. The tolerance of happiness and distress. It's like the winter and summer seasons. One must learn to tolerate them. Suffering comes. Happiness comes. Everybody is looking for happiness. No one is looking for suffering. But it comes automatically. So similarly, Bhagavatam says happiness will come automatically. Why bother looking for it? Just like suffering comes. You didn't look for it, but it comes. So don't waste your time looking for happiness. Just try to become Krishna conscious. And this other one, which was the one I remembered, as a lamp in a windless place does not waver, so the mind of the meditating transcendentalist remains always still. And the purport, Prabhupada just gives one sentence, says, the sincere devotee never, he has an undisturbed meditation on his worshipable Lord. Of course, to have that type of undisturbed meditation, one must have some real bhava, some real bhakti, real devotion. But this is the idea. So simile is used in the Bhagavatam, and it's very beautiful. We have two beautiful examples from Bhagavad Gita. And I'm sure if anyone remembers one from the Bhagavatam, they can remember it, and we'll at the end of class we'll ask. But if the purport is not about this, similes. So we'll talk about the purport. So the devotee is compared to the traveler. The word for traveler is panta, panta sukoti, the path of devotional service. Panta means path. So our path is to take shelter of Krishna and turn off our mobile phones on silent. Is mine on silent? Yeah. So in this verse, the suffering of the preacher is mentioned, that the preacher takes on so many struggles to spread Krishna consciousness. When I was at home in the freezing cold, I'm thinking the poor Sankirtan devotees. It's very, very cold and they're out on the street. But whenever I look at the photos of them, they're all smiling. They're all happy. And when you ask them, oh, how was the marathon? They're all ecstatic, blissful. So where is the suffering? The real suffering is to get out there and land on the street and all these things. So anyway, there is so many sufferings when you go out preaching. Lord Nityananda was beaten. He was cut in the forehead. And Jesus Christ, he was crucified. Prabhupada said, what did he do? He simply preached about God. That's all he did. And for that, they give such a harsh punishment. So Prabhupada said they were barbaric, barbarians. Now, it's very interesting that the Bible, Christianity is the number one biggest religion in the world by population. Islam is number two. So the Bible was spread in the 1700s, 1800s, all over the world, mainly by Irish and Scottish preachers. They're the ones who went to the jungles of Africa and the desert, jungles of Amazon and South America, and spread the Bible over the world. So similarly, this Christian consciousness movement, Prabhupada mentions Christ here, was spread by Americans. Prabhupada sent, and these Americans, they went all over the world, Japan, Australia, Germany, this, that, spread all over the world by Americans. In God we trust. Good for them, yeah? And now we are here on this Bhaktivedanta Manor, very sacred place. And the philosophy of this preaching program is that Krishna says that one who preaches, he's the best devotee, he's very dear to me, because he takes on so many difficulties, austerities, and dangers. Prahlad Maharaj preached to his father, who was a great demon, made him very angry. But Prahlad Maharaj was fearless and always remembering Krishna. When he was thrown off the cliff, he remembered Krishna before he got thrown off. As he was falling, he went all the way down to the bottom before Krishna caught him. But he was remembering Krishna all the way down. There's a beautiful verse in the fourth canto, just before Dhruva Maharaj is getting on the aeroplane to go back to Godhead. It says, "The self-effulgent Vaikuntha planets, by whose illumination alone all the illuminating planets within this material world give off reflected light, cannot be reached by those who are not merciful to others. Only persons who constantly engage in welfare activities for other living entities can reach the Vaikuntha planets." This is a fascinating statement. So how much are we doing to help others? Prabhupada said in one purport that we are not even, he was discussing about the Brahma Bandhus, people who are born in Brahmin families but have no Brahminical qualifications. He said they are Brahma Bandhus, friends of the Brahmins. They have some qualification, some good credit, because at least they're born in a Brahmin family. So Prabhupada says we cannot even claim to be Brahma Bandhus. We are fallen outside of Vedic culture, everything. We cannot even claim. But we can spread Bhagavad Gita all over the world. We can preach Bhagavad Gita. We can distribute Bhagavad Gita. Even the new Bhakta comes in after he does 3-month Bhakta program. Even during the Bhakta program, he goes out and distributes books, become the most dear to Krishna immediately. So this is the glory of the Krishna consciousness movement. Even if you have no qualification, you are born in a sinful family. Na prema shavanadi bhakti rapiva yogo tava vaishnavo. Jnanam va shubhakama va kiyadaho sajjati rapyastiva. Rupa Goswami, or Sanat Goswami, prays that na prema. So Krishna, I don't have any love for you. Na prema shravanadi. I don't have any qualification to perform hearing and chanting, remembering you, all the other processes of bhakti. Na prema shravanadi. Bhakti, I have no devotion. So jati apyasti vahi agyanam, I have no knowledge, I have no philosophical knowledge. I have no mystic power of a Vaishnava. And I don't even have taken a good birth. So what is our hope? If you think you can go back to Godhead just by individual sadhana, going to the Himalayas and going to Vrindavan and sit in a holy place and chant Hare Krishna, how long do you think you will last, or how much progress will you make? This is why Bhaktisiddhanta, Prabhupada, they're not pushing you. Come to Vrindavan, study, chant 64 rounds. Prabhupada's not telling us that. Bhaktisiddhanta didn't even tell his disciples. He pushed them. He said, practically I'm whipping you. What can you do, sadhana? Go out and distribute Krishna consciousness all over the world. Prabhupada's a phenomenal phenomenal. Print books in as many languages, distribute throughout the whole world. Who can imagine such a thing in history? The Vedic books being given out on every street in the world and accompanied by all other preaching programs. Therefore, this is our hope. This is our great hope. So in that verse I quoted, Rupa Goswami says, you're kind to the fallen. You're very kind. You give this hope. You give me this hope. So Prabhupada says, we are sitting here discussing the same thing every day, chanting Hare Krishna. But we have a little hope. Where people have no Krishna consciousness, they have absolutely no hope whatsoever. Amanda Sumanda Matayo, Amanda Kya. They are all fallen, sinful, and absorbed in sense gratification. You cannot even find people with any piety anymore, practically speaking. Kali Yuga. But the beauty of Krishna consciousness is that even one associates with this movement, maybe he cannot chant, maybe he cannot come to the temple, he just keeps the books at home, has some sentiment for Prabhupada, then his piety will increase. Agyata Sukriti. All these people who buy books, they touch the book, they give a donation to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Unknowing devotional service, increasing. So it's like a mass distribution of agyata sukriti, punya, bhakti punya. So this will accumulate, and within a few hundred years, the whole world will be more pious, more wonderful, golden age. This is the idea. So at the moment, we can't see the benefit. Prabhupada says the imperceptible benefit. The world is getting from the Krishna consciousness movement. But it has to happen. Once that sukriti builds up. See, some people, they cannot even touch the book, right? Prabhupada, you were telling me that story. Devotee was preaching to this person on the street, trying to get them to take it. They couldn't even touch the book. They didn't want to touch it. They're so impious. It's like the witch and the water or something. They can't touch the water. What is that? Anyway, so we increase the piety when we go on Harinam and when we go to books. And we also increase Krishna's affection for us, Krishna's mercy. And then when Krishna's mercy comes to us, then we'll be able to chant with Aham Savasya Prabhava Mata Savam Pravata Iti Matva Bhajante Mam Buddha Bhava. So when we get Krishna's mercy and we feel some bhav, some emotion, just like in this verse. You're traveling through this material world, such a horrible place. And as you get older, it gets worse because your senses, your body, you suffer so many bodily sufferings of others. Then you have to have anxiety for your children. They have to go through the whole same thing you went through. And so it's all a big plate of suffering and anxiety. And now we're so foolish, we think we are going to enjoy. We're going to be happy. And we're making plans for happiness all the time. This is what is happening. So bhakti yoga means put this aside and try to worship Krishna with love or with bhakti, with a pure mind. And this lonely journey of the sadhaka will be rewarded by Krishna in the end if we stick to the path. Just like this traveler, he's traveling on the ocean, the forest, the hilltops, trying to get some wealth to bring home. When he remembers his family, he feels some relief from all his suffering. What to speak of when he finally goes home. So we're suffering in this world, but when Krishna gives his mercy, what to speak of when he takes us home, then it'll all have been worthwhile. You simply have to tatenu kampam manusikshamana bunjata evatma kritam vipakam ridvag vapurbi dadanam namaste jiveti yos mukti pad sadaya bhak. You have to earnestly wait for Krishna's mercy, patiently wait for Krishna's mercy. That's all you have to do. And then you become the rightful inheritor of that mercy. Now, every... Every moment, everything you do in bhakti yoga has credit. It's never forgotten by Krishna. It's never insignificant. Even you stay for 5 years, 10 years, and then you give up, all that 5 years, 10 years is to your eternal credit. Just like a Jamil, he did sadhana, Vaishnava behavior, bhakti throughout his young life. Then he completely gave it up. For his whole life he gave it up. So Prabhupada says, you come here 5 years, that you get, that's very good. Even if you can't make the whole life. So Jamil, he was saved at the end of his life by chanting the holy name. There's a famous verse, this is 8th canto, Tapena, sadavo praya so jana, paramaradanam taddi, purushashakilatmana. That saintly persons almost always engage in voluntary suffering to uplift others. Almost always. Lord Shiva, he just drank the ocean of poison. And this verse was spoken. They take voluntary suffering to uplift others. Parama aradhanam. Parama, this supreme arada. Supreme form of worship. Purushashi, this is the best form of worship. So when you go out in whatever form and try to give Krishna consciousness to others, this is the greatest welfare work. And it will, Krishna is going to give you so much credit. Just like here, it says, the devotee, he doesn't worry about his future. They do not mind what becomes of the future of their lives. They have full confidence. Full confidence. You surrender your life to Krishna, at least some of it fully, especially when you're young, free and single. You surrender that life, at least that part, 5, 10 years, 20 years. Don't worry about the future. Forget the future. Then Krishna will protect you. Krishna's protection. This is one of the main subjects, one of the 10 subjects of the Bhagavatam, posanam, Krishna's protection. So you want to be, if you please Krishna, if you're protected by Krishna, you don't have to worry about anything else. Don't have to make extraneous efforts to protect yourself. So this welfare work, sometimes I'm surprised, I meet initiated devotees and they said, oh yeah, I gave in charity to the temple, some donation, and I also gave to the Heart Foundation or some other mundane charity. So I'm surprised. There's nothing wrong with being charitable. It's you get different type of punya to bhakti. You get karma punya. You get material enjoyment when you help other people in their material enjoyment. But the Shastra says that gokoti dahanam grahane kagasya prayaga gangoda kakalpavashaha yagyayutam meru savana dhanam govinda kirti nasamam shatangshai. Says you may live in the holiest place in the universe by material means is Prayag, where the Ganges and the Yamuna meet, confluence of the Ganges and Yamuna. You may live there for 10 million years. Or you may give 10 million cows in charity during a solar eclipse. It's very auspicious to give charity during the eclipse. Or you give a mountain in gold in charity to the qualified brahmanas. But all of these things are just 1/100th the merit, 1/100th of the chanting of the holy name of Govinda, Govinda Kirtan. Because Govinda Kirtan is fully spiritual, and all these other things are actually material punya, material piety. So we have to give to the Krishna consciousness movement, and give everything to Krishna consciousness movement, and give our lives, give our wealth, give our words, give our intelligence, how to spread Krishna consciousness to every living being, every human being, every human being. Yeah, this is our Krishna consciousness movement, and this is how to get Krishna's mercy. And finally, the last line says, a pure devotee of the Lord is exactly in a family tie with the Lord, is undeterred in discharging his duty. Prabhupada says, when you become initiated, you become part of Krishna's family. And this is a very nice thing. And the relationship between the devotee and Krishna is very simple. Just like them Brahmins, the Brahmin who promised his daughter in marriage to the other Brahmin when they were traveling. He said, I don't believe you, you're from aristocratic family, I'm from a very low-class family. How will you give your daughter to me? There'll be so much trouble from your family. Let us go in front of Gopal, and he will witness. So they have such simple faith. Here's Krishna, you witness. So then later he said, Gopal, you witness, I need your help. He says, you have to come personally. Gopal says, I am a deity, I'm not going to walk. He says, if you can talk, then you can also walk. So Krishna came, and that deity went there, and then it got moved somewhere else, Sakshi Gopal. Can we go and see Sakshi Gopal? I don't think we're allowed in that temple. It's in Cuttack now, Sakshi Gopal. Very beautiful deity. But unfortunately, they won't allow the Westerners inside. But you can see a picture of that deity, Sakshi Gopal, Hare Krishna. Okay. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Sankirtan devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada's Christmas marathon. If we have any comments or questions, or if anybody remembers a simile, a verse that is a simile, they can share it with the devotees. Prabhu?
Srimad Bhagavatam 6.1.15. The translation, or bhakti is compared to the sun, which dissipates the fog. So bhakti, by cultivating bhakti, one can wipe out
The sins. That's a good one. Beautiful, yeah. Kechit kevalya bhaktya vasudeva, vasudeva. Yeah. Just like the sun dissipates the fog immediately upon its rising, so similarly, Kechik Kevalya, pure bhakti, immediately illuminates the consciousness and dissipates the darkness of ignorance within the mind. I've just thought of one. The water that washes the lotus feet of the Lord is held on the head of Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva has become even more auspicious by this decoration in his jata, in his locks, Ganges. One should therefore meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord, which act like thunderbolts to shatter the mountain of sin stored in the mind of the meditating devotee. One should meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for a long time. Act like lightning on the mountain. Go.
There's a verse that says, just like the Ganges flows to the sea, may my mind similarly flow towards you.
We could stay here all day doing this, isn't it? Beautiful. That was Queen Kunti.
Yeah, Twai Me.
Matiji. Wait a minute, I can't hear you. 1 second, sorry. Very good. Beautiful. And what's the glories of the Lord even in, who are they for? Swan-like men. Paramahansas. Yeah, there's a lot of simile in the Bhagavatam. Beautiful. Any questions or points or any more? Yes, Prabhu? Yeah, I've got... Keep going, no rush. Tapta jivanam avibirichitam kalmasapaham shavanamangalam shrimatatatam buvigrinantie buridajanah
that the nectar of your words and pastimes are the life and soul of those who grieve in this material world. And our most munificent are those who are spreading this knowledge.
Yeah, it's good. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thanks so much for the nice class. A lot of very nice points. I just had a bit of a technical question for my own understanding. So in the beginning you were quoting this verse about that happiness and distress should be tolerated like the winter and summer seasons. And one should not really endeavor for happiness as it comes automatically. Automatically. And my question was, the amount and frequency of how often we do experience happiness and distress, is that completely independent from our endeavors? So I don't know, let's say if someone does some service, or if someone puts himself in association of happy people, so that doesn't have any impact on how often or the amount of happiness and distress he experiences.
The karma of every living entity is there, and that dictates happiness and distress. But when you come to Krishna consciousness, the happiness and distress kind of becomes, what's that verse in Brahma Samhita? Nidahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. When you do bhakti, then that breaks your karmic bonds and gives you kleshagni. You get relief from the suffering, the samsara dava, the fire of material life. So when you connect to Krishna consciousness, you get relief from suffering. So that happiness is due to the mercy of the devotees and the Lord. Otherwise, everyone is getting their karma. You see, you can go to be happy people with happy people, but if your karma dictating, you may have been a bad time. Just like the rich men, you go on the internet, you can see there's millions of luxury houses all over the world, completely wonderful palaces, but they're all for sale. What does it mean? They had that house designed by the top architect. They had everything they wanted, but still they're miserable. Well, let me sell it and move to another one. Maybe I need another one. So this is going on. So they make so much endeavor for their happiness, but they never quite achieve it. Prabhupada says, or actually the Bhagavatam says, the karmis work very hard for material happiness, but they're always disappointed in the result. Whereas the devotees, just by doing a little service, they get much better result than they ever imagined. This is Krishna consciousness. Everything else is karmic. Means you make some endeavor, you get the result, but how long will the happiness last? It's just in the mind. Like I'm sitting in a nice car in the traffic lights, feeling very good. But it's just in the mind. This is why it's called Maya. There is no happiness. There is no substance. It's a reflection. You're a spirit soul. How can you be happy? It's illusion. It's a dream. It's only suffering. Sometimes you think I'm happy. Maya. That which is not. Yes? We can... I got a note here to say that we have to carry on a little more with class because breakfast is late. Very late. Premanava, come on, wake up now. Ask a question. You're a Sankirtan devotee. Did you have a nice marathon? Jai. Ecstatic. Coco?
Jai. So, Jai. I wonder, what does it actually mean for us, you know, at this stage of endeavor? Because we're not pure devotees. I'm not. So... I don't know what I'm supposed to do on a daily basis, you know, to utilize my time to the best effect and actually Because, you know, we talk about surrender. We talk about just listening to the authorities and following the rules and principles and all that. But sometimes I'm like, yeah, but I want to... I'm still anxious to do things. You know, you get into this mode of like, oh, I want to...
Mm-hmm.
I want to do this. So is there any kind of practical advice on what's this mental sort of relationship you should establish between us and authorities, or us and other devotees, and us and the ultimate, you know, purpose of being a devotee of the Lord?
Yeah, this is like, you know, you've been educated. It's education. It's like you're going to university. So when you're in university, you may want to do so many things, but you have to wait until you get your degree. So once you've got that degree, then you go out in the world and do a, you know, you can do so many things. But until that time, you can't do anything practically. You have to follow the system, you know, ashram system. But the best thing is to go out and utilize that youthful energy to help others. If we, Prabhupada didn't want us to stay in the temple being educated and educated and educated. He wanted us to have a morning class and then everyone go out preaching and then come back and have another class, have some hot milk, go to sleep and start again. Over-education is also a problem. So best to use all your energy, use that energy of your intelligence, your senses, your mind, go and help other people. Then you'll be satisfied. But if you're left sitting in this building, then your mind will become overactive and you won't get your degree. You have to get your degree from Krishna and Prabhupada that I used my youthful energy in the Sankirtan movement, the most glorious thing in the history of billions of universes, Lord Chaitanya's movement. That is our purpose when we're in the ashram life. And it'll make us happy. And it'll give us certificate from Krishna. And I served Sankirtan movement. Sorry? Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, the same person. Mataji?
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for the class. It was very inspiring. I just would like to clarify, if I understood right, about what you said, not to worry about the future. Krishna will take care of everything and just give your possible age to Krishna.
Yeah.
As I understood, I understand that maybe I got it wrong. It's like give all your time to Krishna and then the rest will be taken care of by Krishna after a specific time. But in my experience of life, if I wouldn't invest myself in education so much, I wouldn't be able to sustain my family now, to sustain my son. And even Krishna gives a mercy, I have to be ready and to have material, let's say, qualifications to accept that mercy in any positions or whatever. Just, I would like to clarify, what did you mean by saying
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
What it means is we have to make so many arrangements in this material world. You know, we have to pay the rent, we have to make money, basically. And to do that, we have to do so many things. We have to get educated and qualifications to get jobs, etc., etc. But in our heart, our main thing is that we want to be Krishna conscious. So we have to prioritize. Like, you have to chant every day you're around. So if you don't prioritize and you get absorbed in, then Krishna's mercy will not come to you so easily. It'll be more difficult. But if you prioritize Krishna first, career second, you know, like that, or family second, career third, you know, like that. But what we tend to do is we put the career very important. We put all our emotional self into this material realm, and then we end up disappointed. Can't possibly be disappointed. And even if we get success, he won't satisfy us. So it's where we put our heart. That's what Shraddha means. Shraddha, to give the heart. So the beginning of Krishna consciousness, Shraddha Shabde Vishwakare, we give our heart to Krishna. This is the most important thing. And that's where we're going to get our emotional sustenance, our nourishment, everything, primarily. And amongst, with our family, sharing Krishna consciousness with each other and our friends and our social life. So it's about prioritizing internally. But it doesn't mean, no, you don't do anything, just, I didn't mean, that's not what it means. That let Krishna do everything. No, we have to make endeavor, earn money, and, you know, that's the way of the world. Prayojan Prabhu.
With regards to living our lives in such a way that it's dedicated to Krishna, a verse occurred to me from the Bhagavad Gita, yat karosi yat asi yat jahosi tat asi yat yat tapasasi kunteya tat karusha madhaparnam. It basically it says, do everything for me. Whatever you do, make it an act of worship. In other words, we lose contact with what the real message is, that we should be doing everything for Krishna. We don't separate or divide. It's to say, oh, this is that. No, we should be doing this. We should be doing. We've been given so many, so much service every day, and we can't say this is house life. This is so and so, because that's a mistake. He says, do everything for me, and so it's such a verse. It's like he wants to take everything from you, you know. But we must do everything as a sacrifice to him, and be conscious that this is for Krishna. Whatever I'm doing now, even washing up, keeping the house tidy, you know, reading for Krishna, for his pleasure, chanting for him for his pleasure, that gives him happiness as well. No.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, very good. Like so when you see the rickshaw riders in Vrindavan, before they get on the rickshaw, they touch it to their head, like it's their sacred. Krishna's given them that rickshaw. That's how they're going to earn their money. Prabhupada said Arjuna was only superficially fighting. Looked like Arjuna's fighting, but he was serving Krishna. So this is the higher way of doing it. If you... this is my career, this is my job, this is my... but if I'm doing it for Krishna, then it takes on a spiritual dimension. I've got to eat, got to maintain the body. Body needs... Prabhupada says in this Western country, it's very expensive to live because you need to heating. It's very expensive. So you need money. When you're maintaining the body, and what do? With the body? Seva. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The real seva is to help Prabhupada to spread Krishna consciousness.